Hey, everybody, I'm Nick Layton.
And I'm Leah Bonema.
And we're the hosts of Were You Raised by Wolves?
Each week, we try to make the world a kinder, nicer place.
Well, that's the idea, at least.
I mean, we try.
Have you ever wondered what to do if you're ghosted?
Or what to do when a friend asks you to borrow money?
Or the proper way to eat Cheetos?
You know, the big questions.
So please find Were You Raised by Wolves wherever you listen.
This piece was brought to you by Roberta's, robertaspizza.com.
I'm HRN's Executive Director, Katie Mosman-Wadler, jumping in to tell you about this week's episode of Meat and Three, Heritage Radio Network's weekly food roundup. This week, we're introducing you to some amazing women taking a stand.
So often, being sexually harassed feels like a loss of control. And so I wanted to have these very tangible guides to say, here's what you can do.
Others are pushing for more diversity at major food industry events.
I still feel really determined to do, you know, whatever I can to help shift that and in a direction that's not just more diverse, but more equitable.
We also have a report on that summer business staple, the lemonade stand.
The lemonade stand might be the purest form of starting a business. Low overhead, easy to get into, and requires little experience or special equipment.
Don't miss Meat and Three, your weekly 15-minute food news roundup from HRN. Subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, or your favorite podcast app. Search MEAT plus sign THREE. And thanks, as always, for listening.
Of a revolution.
Whoa.
All right, Arts and Seizures, we're back. It's episode 241 and the beginning of our big countdown. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, etc., etc. We're counting down to 250 and then
just,
Lord knows what.
Getting comfortable.
Whoa, what is that? What's going on in here?
Whoa, set for stun. It's Mike Edison and I'm back with everybody's favorite pizza, Pizza Rumba.
Oh, man.
Okay, and a cast of thousands. It's like a Cecil B. DeMille movie in here.
I tell you,
we're joined.
Call more security because this live audience is getting out of control.
Please, security. It's like that Time Facts Domino played at Yankee Stadium when there was like a riot.
That's right.
There were only 30 people there, but they rioted.
Matt, call the security, please.
We are joined today not only by another flesh tone, Mr. Keith Strang is going to join us on guitar and sing some druggy rock and roll anthems to celebrate our very special guest, Andrew Friedman and his new book, Chef's Drugs. And rock and roll, how food lovers, free spirits, misfits, and wanderers created a new American profession. Chef's Drugs and Rock and Roll, Andrew Friedman. Yeah!
Yeah! There you go.
And this is a great book. Let me tell you right now, okay, this is by far the best book on the topic of Chef Drugs and Rock and Roll.
By default.
I've read on the G Train in many in donkey years. No, it's a great book. It's a great accomplishment, Andrew. Glad to have you here.
Thank you. Of course,
you're a Heritage Radio inmate or work.
Yes.
Anyway.
Well, I would have said family, but inmate works.
And we're glad to have you along. And before we came into the studio today, we were talking about, and I want to get it out of the way. This ain't 60 minutes, so there's no gotchas
here.
We're reading
the book.
But the timing of a book about sex and food, oh my God, it's like they're falling like dominoes, some of these towering titans of the kitchen.
Yeah.
So what's the claptrap? What's the argy-bargy? What's the feedback? What's happening?
On that particular point?
Yeah.
I mean, that particular point is...
Well, I read something snarky in the New York Times the other day.
Yeah, I mean, people who listen to my... You mentioned I'm here on Heritage as well. I have a show called Andrew Talks to Chefs. And on my most recent episode, I kind of get this out of the way up front as well. But, you know, Pete Wells reviewed the book in the New York Times Book Review that actually ran today, Sunday, June 3rd, in the print edition. And the whole lead of the review was about how this title now inextricably linked to the Me Too moment, hashtag. Which I don't agree with.
I disagree with it strongly as well, too.
You know, and the title, as everybody knows, is a riff on the phrase, I took out one of the ands because I don't like the cadence, but the phrase chefs and drugs and rock and roll.
As
a lot of my rocking friends have told me I got it wrong. It wasn't wrong. It was a deliberate decision.
Ian Curry.
But, you know, that phrase refers to things like free love, partying. There is such a thing as consensual sex in the world.
And it's awesome.
Really?
Yeah. And it's awesome. So this notion that every chef out there needs to be painted with this brush, to me, is absurd. And as someone pointed out to me on my Facebook page the other day, the book is not called Male Chefs and Drugs and Rock and Roll. It is Chefs and Drugs and Rock.
Well, one of my favorite stories in the book is actually about one of the great female restaurateurs and visionaries and pioneers and chefs, and that's our friend Alice Waters.
Yeah.
Oh, my
there's
God.
Lots
really?
Women
don't,
in the, there's lots
don't
of women
tell me
in the
anything.
Book.
Let me read the book.
Wait, this is the sound of Alice Waters taking
that's
LSD.
Like
she only did it once.
So she says. But you know what? Sometimes that's enough because once you open that door stays open.
No, there are a lot of people. She was one of them. Bruce Martyr, who on page one of the book, the L.A. chef, is dropping acid in a van overseas.
The flesh tones are both nodding their heads.
You know, I don't quote him in the book, but Michael McCarty, who has Michael's restaurant, told me that, you know, once you did that once, you just saw the world in a different way. And a lot of these people never would have considered this path had they not dropped acid.
Frankly, I find it very difficult to relate to people who have not dropped acid.
As Detective Joe Friday told his partner, Bill Gannon, on Dragnet, he said, heroin is the fuse. Marijuana is the match, and LSD is the explosion.
Yes,
and Bill Gannon nodded his head. In he said,
liquor is.
Well,
quick.
Those guys were pretty straight. Those guys were pretty straight.
They were just straight. They're like the straight, just the facts.
But can I just quickly say, Mike? I so Please appreciate do. You bringing up the Times because I was very annoyed about that review, and all these people kept not all these people, a fraction of my friends. Said,
oh wait, it just came out today.
Oh, you should be. Well, it was online Wednesday,
right? Which is when I saw it.
And some friends of mine said, oh, you should just be honored to be reviewed by the Times. And I'm like, well, that's like saying, you know, it's an honor to be Secretary of State when the president is like Donald Trump, you know?
I thought the review was a bit snarky, too. And Pete's a great writer, and he's a great food reviewer. And sometimes I wonder, too, whether, you know, people who are writing about food should be reviewing books just because they happen to be about food.
I don't think that's
food.
A regular occurrence. I don't know the last book he reviewed.
You know, and Pete's, like, his writing is creative. I can't consider myself a fan. I think he's a wonderful writer, and he's written some great stuff. His review of this joint was, like, unbelievable. Word for word, pound for pound, that review, like, really, really was more than generous. And I've never read so much, something so enthusiastic.
No, that's fine. I am publicly annoyed.
I have to get on a word here because I used to hang with Pete Wells quite a bit. Him and his wife came over to our house for dinner once, and this was a few years ago, and I never heard from him since. If I ever run into Pete Wells again, or if he's listening,
motherfucker,
Pete, was the meal that bad? Really?
But he wasn't expecting a check.
So that's out of the way. Mission accomplished.
I'm going to say it again, though. Chefs, Drugs, and Rock and Roll by our friend Andrew Friedman. It is a really great book. It's about the 70s and the 80s. It is not about what's happening now. And I got to tell you, they nailed the font, the 70s-esque font, the colors. I think the cover's great. Hard to nail that without making it look, you know, like an off-the-rack 70s font. I love the cover. I think they nailed it.
I'll be totally honest with you. That first of all, the photo on the cover, which is of the original crew of Michael Santa Monica from April of 1979.
Yes.
Four chefs. It's a black and white photo. It's my favorite chef photo of all time.
They look very California.
I wanted that photo on the cover from the day I sold the book to my publisher. But when I first got the mock-up of the cover, this will show you how wrong people can be.
Oh, geez.
I didn't love the font right away. Every friend I showed it to, plus my agent, my wife, everybody said, you're insane.
No.
And people go gaga for the cover. They love the cover.
I think they nailed it. I got to tell
you. If I've had the book with me in public, you said you were reading it on the G train. But if I've had it I've actually now, if I have a copy on me, I put it face down. Because if I was at a bar or something, people would say, what is that? You know, and then it felt weird because it was my own book.
Come on, you got to.
Well, I think it's very, very lovely.
Yeah, it's beautiful. Sarah Wood at HarperCollins designed that cover.
Yeah, give credit where the credit is due. There aren't enough good people working in the book.
I'm holding this up for the radio audience.
Yeah, I know. I didn't want to tell you that no one could see that. But.
So I'll tell you what, though. You know what I like about this book is that it's you know, in the life and times of these chefs and these restaurants, the times are as important as the lives.
Yes.
And the 80s, to me, were like this like awful decadent American psycho era of New York. I mean, it's when...
The best.
When were you on the magazine, Food Beat, Pete?
Mostly the late 90s through the turn of the millennial till about 10 years ago.
But, I mean, I always remember the scene American Psycho when they're like, you know... A reservation at a restaurant, it was access. And what Joe Bastianich told me once when I was working with him, he said, you know, we realized that there was this turning point when we were the gatekeepers of the clubhouse.
Yeah.
And access was power.
We didn't get into American Psycho, but we did get into his first book. So,
Brett.
Yes, we did. Yes. Oh, Brett.
I think that was a distinctly New York thing. I think the status of a table somewhere was such a thing in New York.
Really? It was like crazy. Yeah.
What was that? Balthazar, right? You get into Balthazar.
Balthazar famously, when it opened, New York Magazine, what is it in the front of the book? The Intelligencer thing. They did a seating chart once, and it was where the various regulars sat. Because everyone had their tables.
And New York Magazine, too, was like, you know, for reporting on it and glamorizing it, probably is guilty for, like, making it, you know, this illusion of power. Because that's really all power is an illusion anyway.
You think so? Tell it to Joe Stalin.
Whoa.
All right. It's an illusion.
Cha-cha-cha.
Uh-oh. All right. And we are presenting this autographed copy of Chefs, Drugs, and Rock and Roll.
Try to rush
Andrew Frieden.
You may pry it from
Keith Strang. It's your lucky day.
Oh, thank you.
There you go.
It's your lucky day. Keith, listen, I got to say something. I know why I'm here. I'm here for the free Roberta's pizza. But where have you been?
I thought it was me.
How do you show up here? What's going on?
I've been in Sweden. Having fika.
You were in Sweden.
Yes, having fika every day.
And you've just come
You know
on.
What fika is?
Yeah, that's a tax I pay that I don't understand. It shows up on my standardized tax sheet.
Tell him what
fika
is.
Fika is like, you know, a social get-together every afternoon.
Afternoon tea.
Between friends having, like, coffee, donuts.
It's afternoon tea.
Maybe some type of sandwich with shrimp.
Let's try that. I like it.
Yeah,
it's great.
An afternoon sandwich with shrimp. I like that.
Well,
that sounds good.
That's fika. Well, I've been doing that a lot.
Or LSD with Alice Waters.
Swedish cuisine.
She did Shea Panisse. What, Alice Waters? Who did she do out there? She was out west, right?
She's still there.
She did. That's not all. That's the only restaurant she's
done. We went there.
And you know what? It's not overrated, man.
It's great.
It's so wonderful. And I sort of came out of this. You know, my food experience was... Living in Europe was like, I got used to using good ingredients. And the whole time I lived in Spain, you know, years and years ago in Europe, we never went to one trendy restaurant. Well, we did go to restaurants that sourced locally because that was just the culture. It wasn't a trendy
thing.
That's
how they got the food.
You want a steak in Basque country, you go up the hill and you get the fucking cow. You know, and he's grazing on your friend's farm. And the wine and the grapes came from a local source. Everything was local. All the agriculture was local. And it was better that way. That's all.
And even in Sweden, they have a much higher...
Suicide rate.
Yes.
That's possible, too, just when it becomes winter. But really, their level of what they produce in their supermarkets, there's no comparison to
the
what we are
eating. The prices
can't
be compared either. That's...
Prices are getting better because I'm moving there. Anyway,
no, I know. Anyway, Keith Strang, this is his lucky day. Because talking about the arts, the Melbourne Arts Centre, that's spelled C-E-N-T-R-E, in Victoria, Australia, got in touch with me because the Hoodoo Gurus are part of something called the Tunnel of Australian Music. It's an installation. You walk through it and hear snippets of Australian rock and roll. For some reason, the Hoodoo Gurus decided to send in their cover of our song, Pickin' Pickin'. So they were looking for someone to license this. Somehow this wound up being...
This is your lucky day.
Right. Somehow they wanted to know who to send the money to. So your share of the publishing plus writing plus the Hoodoo Gurus said they don't own the masters. Then, Dirty Water Records said they didn't own the masters. So you get a share also of the master rights. So today, here in front of the studio audience...
With a giant novelty check. You guys should see this thing. It's about seven feet wide and 4 feet tall. I feel like I'm on The Price is Right or something.
Keith Strang.
Come on down!
I knew that today was going to be my lucky day.
Keith Strang, come on down!
Keith Strang.
I'm coming down.
Come down the aisle and accept your check for $59.29.
Woo! Wow. God almighty.
All right.
After about 40 years of being in the business, I hit it.
Well, at least you didn't like get curtain number three with, like, you know, Jay on the donkey. All right. You know what? I'm feeling like we should get to a song.
I feel like getting high.
Let's get high. You know what?
I think
we should try this cocktail first.
Should we do it first?
Let's take a sip of this cocktail first. This is an old-fashioned pre-mixed in a bottle. Okay. And Zaremba, get your shit together. I want them. We got 10 shows left, and I want them to be the sponsor for the last five.
And I'm like already like, oh, he's drunk. I've just finished a old-fashioned made by our bartender here at Roberta's.
And hats off to the bartenders at Roberta's.
And tip them well. Now, I've opened a pre-mixed old-fashioned. This is what the kids do now. The kids just, and this is made by, I can't read this. This is
Hasbro.
Candering barman. Yeah, Mandarin barman.
Read it well. I want them to sponsor our last five shows. Yeah.
What does this say, Andy? You're a writer. What does that say?
Mandarin barman.
Mandarin barman. This is a pre-mix in like, it looks like a quarter pint, easily concealed bottle, if I may say.
It's like a flat. It's a flask.
It is. Yeah.
It's a glass flask.
You know what? I see. Now, this is like very artisanal and boutique and very lovely, but you know what it reminds me of? You ever, Andrew, when you were growing up, I don't know where you grew up, did you ever like have Tango?
Oh, of course he had.
No, I didn't have
it. It was pre-mixed screwdriver.
Oh.
Really like, really more like Tang and vodka.
Tango.
And it was probably like 99 cents for a pint. And, you know, basically your pot dealer would give it to you with the pot.
We never touched that, right? I never saw Tango.
I would make Blue Whale instead.
Right. And sometimes use Georgie vodka, which also
Georgie
always,
vodka was a good part of my life. Oh, I should say things
But
like
Georgie
that.
Vodka, even though it's vodka, always resulted in gin blossoms by the end of the evening.
Oh. Remember Taka vodka from Louisiana?
Oh my God. What was the vodka well drink when I was bartending in Spain and they told me to use it to clean the bar? Because it was cheaper than the actual stuff that was made to clean the bar and worked better.
What's this? Templo de Gato?
Yeah.
Templo de Gato, right?
Yeah. Well, no one used vodka to clean the bar before the shift.
People just use the cocktail to remove the cocaine
Real
from their
degreaser.
Nostrils.
All right, come on. Come on.
Okay, this cocktail, I poured it. Okay, right away, the nose. I'm getting an unusual scent of ginger, which to me has nothing to do. They didn't put any Luxardo cherries in the bottle, so I'm getting a little pissed off. Okay, let me taste it.
Another sponsorship gone awry.
No, this is delicious.
It's not bad, right?
Oh, this is really good.
Right.
We highly recommend this easily concealed bottle.
Yeah, that's the purpose, I guess.
No, I think it's delicious.
You know what you could do? Yeah. These are so small, you could put one in each breast pocket and one another one in your
boots. Your boot. Right.
Set for the evening.
You're all set for the evening. You go to the opera, whatever. Play this song. Try this.
I've been waiting
Please
for
do.
You.
Andrew, I'm sorry. I'm like.
We need your precise.
You're a food writer.
Wow.
Okay, you're a food writer. Don't tell me what you think. Tell me what Pete Wells would say.
I don't know. I assume he would connect it to Prohibition somehow. But
Killjoy.
What was I going to say? This is hot. It's hot. It's got a lot of alcohol.
And it's got ginger.
I have to try this.
And it's watch out, Strang. We know what happens.
I don't know. This just people at smells
home.
Incorrect.
People at home.
Dude, you just got a check for $58 from the Hoodoo Gurus. Drink up.
Actually, it's from the Melbourne Arts Center of the Victoria State.
Let me take a slant. Let me have a swig, and then we're going to do this number.
All right.
Let me see what's going on here.
I think it'd go very well with delicious Roberta's Pizza, our sponsor.
Yeah, we'll try that later.
We are going to try that because listen to Heritage Radio Network. Not NPR. You know what NPR stands for, right, Andrew? No Pizza Radio.
Ooh.
That's right. Try getting Terry Gross to give you a slice of pizza.
Terry
Leonard
Gross.
Low paid everybody. Bought anybody a pie.
Yeah. Have Terry Gross chance. Hand you a pre-mixed.
All right. This American pizza.
What are we playing first?
I think we're going to do Let's Get High.
Is that a Roscoe Gordon song?
Baby, let's get high. We're gonna have a real good time. Baby, let's get high. We're gonna have a real good time. We're gonna start off drinking whiskey. We'll end up drinking wine. We're gonna drink and drink. It's gonna be our ruin. We're gonna drink and drink. And we're gonna be our ruin. We're gonna get so high, we won't know what we're doing. Who's gonna take it? Strike! So bad. Well, I've run out of money and my head feels so goddamn bad. But I don't mind one bit, a bit, because of the fun we had. Now, Andrew, help us. Baby, let's get high.
Let's get high.
Baby, let's get high.
Let's get high.
Baby, let's get high. Mikey, too.
Let's get high.
Kitty, let's get high. Because if we're drinking in Sweden, it's gonna cost a whole lot of money. And Keith knows that by now.
Can you dig it? Arts and Seizures here with the Flesh Tones and our special guest, Andrew Friedman, author of the spectacular new book, Chefs, Drugs, and Rock and Roll. And, yeah, man.
Oh, man.
You know what I like about this book is what its thing is. Yeah. It's the culture shift, you know, and it is rock and roll, because what it made me think of when I was reading this is the point in history when rock musicians became cultural spokesmen, mm-hmm. when young people became
that was a mistake.
You know, legit voices of the popular culture. Listen, I mean, you know, whether David Crosby made any sense or not, you know, we can debate, but it's good that young people, the Beatles, the Rolling Stones, were empowered, you know, after the shitty Eisenhower years. It was the first time in history to be young was to be cool. And I think the 70s chef scene, the food scene, it grew into the 80s until, of course, the American Psycho, Wall Street, you know, decadence of it was a very powerful thing.
What I liked about it was the food got better, but that's good.
Well, got more interesting for sure. You know, one of the great lines in the book, Tony Bill, who was a film producer and director, he produced The Sting, won an Oscar for that.
Ouch.
Directed movies like, well, I still remember he directed My Bodyguard, which was Bodyguard, not the Whitney Houston one.
Ouch.
My Bodyguard.
Oh, okay.
When I was a kid.
You mean Your Bodyguard?
No. It doesn't matter. Anyway, okay. But Tony Bill, he also was a restaurateur, and he makes this point that, you know, there was this whole generation of people who didn't want to grow up and be their parents. They didn't want to go into offices. They didn't want to put on a suit and tie. And what he said to me was, some of them picked up guitar and became musicians. Some of them, you know, picked up a movie camera, became independent filmmakers, and some of them picked up a knife kit, became chefs.
And
I very much connect those chefs of that era to the same filmmakers who were in Peter Biskin's book, Easy Riders, Raging Bulls. Right?
A great book also, and it's very
but
true.
The film changed.
It was the auteur theory of food.
Right, it went from genre pictures to personal independent films, right?
I agree.
And that's what happened in restaurants.
It was the first time that the artist was empowered for a long time.
Yes.
And I've met so many wonderful chefs and people who work in kitchens and people in the industries who said, they told their parents what they wanted to do. Said, what, you want to be a cook for the rest of your life?
You know, if I'll tell you a funny story. This came up in almost every, there once in a while there would be a supportive parent, right? But for the most part, parents were freaking out when their kids.
Yeah, not my experience, but I believe it does exist.
I'm going to throw away my college degree or my law degree. I want to be a cook, right? And maybe the 30th person to say some version of that to me was Evan Kleinman, who has a radio show out of LA now, but used to be a chef. And Evan told me this story. And I said to her, oh, my God, this was like your guys' version of coming out. And she said, you know, it kind of was. But here's the funny thing. I mentioned that conversation to Jody Williams, who's the chef of Bouvette here in New York, mm-hmm. openly gay chef. And she said, you know, Andrew, I'll tell you something funny. I sat my father down one day and I said, I have two pieces of bad news for you. I'm gay and I want to be a cook.
Oh, wow.
So it actually, for her, it literally was coming out. It was the same conversation. Anyway.
Is the food openly gay?
I need some LSD to answer that question.
We gotta check it out.
Well, I think the gay touch always helps. Like, for instance, I was single, I'd always put a slice of avocado next to everything.
Ooh.
I thought that was very important. Chicks loved it. It was the gay touch.
All right.
We shouldn't talk about the Pyramid Club.
No, we're not going to bring up the Pyramid Club.
Well, I think the cat's out of the bag, String. What's going on?
We're not
going
to bring up Andy Bourdain hanging out late at night with us. Don't worry.
Well, I think a lot of those stories were
told. What he was looking for at that hour.
You know. Come on. He's been pretty open about like his drug habits and
excesses. How do you say it in Pig Latin? How do you say heroin in Pig Latin?
Just like that.
Because I don't want anyone to know.
Axme.
I don't want anyone to know.
You know, I think, you know, I'm always shocked that people who are people are shocked about what goes on in restaurants, what goes on in kitchens. First of all, have you ever worked with other adults before? Is my first question was like, oh, there people are playing grab ass and they're cussing and they're doing drugs and the employees are sleeping with each other. It's like, have you not ever worked with other adults before? Because it's not endemic just for the food industry, obviously.
I mean,
but you work in very close quarters and the temperatures are high, so
no,
maybe that accelerates
it.
One
of the things, let's be honest, one of the things that drew, it's not as much the case now, but I think one of the things that drew a lot of people to the kitchens were, you know, these were people who were, a lot of these people were metabolically almost incompatible with a normal job or with formal schooling. And, you know, kitchens were like playpens. I mean, there was no supervision. There's no HR department. There was no...
Why do you think these
now
guys...
Now there are.
Why do you think these guys formed a rock band?
There you go.
Because we didn't
have any other marketable skills.
Well, we had a place to do it, and we had nothing better to do.
And we wanted it.
Well, I think it's been good. I think what Pete said, too, what Saremba said before is, you know what's great? The food definitely got better in America.
The food got better, baby. Come on.
I know you talk a lot in your book, too, about, like, you know, American food being maligned and, you know especially by the student
French. Do you
want to
know what I prepared last night?
What did you prepare?
Prepared. You applied heat to something?
Well, they took away the White Castle in my neighborhood.
Dude, that was a blow.
That was a blow in Bushwick.
Yeah, that I thought that.
And you can still get them frozen in your supermarket, but...
No, I only accept a White Castle if it's a legit standalone White Castle.
You can recreate it if you steam it.
Ah, c'est pas le même.
And it works. I did it last night. Anyway, that's my contribution to cuisine in New York City.
C'est pas le même. Is that what they teach you in White Castle Culinary School?
Of course. You cannot prepare White Castle hamburgers unless you can fluently speak French.
Yes, that's that too, and of course, steaming.
We got to play more music. Steaming. We're running out of Mikey. All right. Mikey.
The book is called Chef's Drugs and Rock and Roll. Andrew,
I don't know how
Freeman.
To read your gestures.
Huh?
You're making a lot of... I feel like I'm a baseball player who doesn't have the
steel third.
Playbook. Yeah, I don't know
Bunch.
What you...
Like he's the catcher and you're the pitcher.
I don't... Right? Well, man, I don't know what you're telling me.
He does it over
Andrew,
there.
Andrew, you're the pitcher here. Come on.
Well,
throw a few winners here.
There's a lot more to talk about, but
part two.
Part two. This is the fastest half hour.
Excuse me.
On the internet today, as
pardon
always.
Pardon moi.
It's been a bilingual affair and time with the Flesh Tones and our friend Andrew Friedman. Please go out and get his book. It is completely excellent. Don't believe the failing New York Times.
That's right.
Read. No, the book is truly great. And if anybody is a fan of both the food world, of restaurants,
I am.
Of culture of the 70s and the 80s, and especially the paradigm shift of who got to be the gatekeeper and pushing the establishment out, this is a book that says, fuck you to the man. Andrew Friedman's book, Chef, Drugs, and Rock and Roll. Go out and buy it.
Thank you very much.
All right.
They're rushing this stage. They're trying to get copies. Andrew, here. I've got a box of Sharpies. Here, sign these things for the... Wait, get back!
I'm trying to keep up.
Get back!
Get these guys off of me!
Get back! They're all going right. Nuts. I'm telling you, baby.
All right, we're gonna go out.
We're gonna play a song.
We got one more song.
For Christ's sake.
All right, and don't forget, this is the countdown to number 250. That's still a couple months of good radio here on Arts and Seizures.
Count.
Thanks for Matt for twirling the knobs. Thanks to Roberta's for sponsoring
get
us.
Get a word in there.
Are you ready?
Got a word in there, Andrew. Andrew, say
where can we find you, Andrew? Tell us where we can find
you. You can find me. Heritage Radio Network, Andrew Talks to Chefs.
That's here. Oh, that's so crazy, man.
That's crazy, baby.
That's insane.
Strang, mostly you should buy the book.
Strang, hit the guitar.
It's an excellent book.
Song's by Nat Freeburg.
All right, we'll see you guys next week. Here we go.
Song by Nat Freeburg.
Listening to Heritage Radio Network, food radio supported by you. For our freshest content and to hear about exclusive events, subscribe to our newsletter. Enter your email at the bottom of our website, heritageradionetwork.org. Connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at heritage_radio. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization driving conversations to make the world a better, fairer, more delicious place. And we couldn't do it without support from listeners like you. Want to be a part of the food world's most innovative community? Rate the shows you like, tell your friends, and please join our community by becoming a member. Just click on the beating heart at the top right of our homepage. Thanks for listening.
Hi, listeners. We want to tell you about a podcast we're really digging. It's called Christopher Kimball's Milk Street Radio. Every week, they travel the world to find the most fascinating stories about food, including children who harvest cod tongues after school in Norway, and a detective who tracks down food thieves. And on Milk Street Radio, you can always find the unexpected. The comedian who ranks apples using an elaborate 100-point system, the secret history of grocery stores, and how to eat your way through Italy. I also interview the most beloved names in food like Jacques Pepin, Sola Aweli, Jose Andres, Jet Tila, Ina Garten, Nigella Lawson, and Padma Lakshmi. Plus, co-hosts Christopher Kimball and Sarah Moulton do live calls with listeners and answer their questions about ingredients, techniques, and culinary mysteries. Like, why roasting a leg of lamb made one caller's oven explode? Ever wonder why your bread won't rise or your souffle falls flat? Chris and Sarah have the answers. You'll also hear from a rotating cast of contributors, including Kenji Lopez-Alt, Cheryl Day, Dan Pashman from The Sporkful, and Alex Inouz, the French guy cooking from YouTube. Take a listen at 177milkstreet.com/radio or just search your podcast app for Milk Street Radio.